You might like to turn in your Bible, if you would, to the Gospel of John and chapter 15. Perhaps we could look to the Lord in prayer. And our God and Father, we look to you to deal with our heads, our hearts. God, here we are. Thank you very, very much. In Christ's name, amen. In our study of this part of the Gospel of John in the upper room, and knowing, as we've said, he, in a matter of a few hours, is going to be crucified. And therefore, in this particular section, 15, 16, 17, God gives a very special preparation for a very, very special service assignment. And the disciples, the apostles, the 11 of them there, are facing the loss of the Lord and the Jewish unbelief. And in the process, they do not have much hope or much expectations. Prison, death, maybe, unknown. So John, you're recording, and he's the last living apostle. I'm recording around 95 AD, plus or minus. And in the process, as he looks back to this event, he was personally involved there. And he's looking at the world system back in 100 AD, approximately, when things have gone downhill and apostasy is very high and the conditions of persecution are very high. So therefore, as John looks, he's looking back and giving us an account according to the Spirit of God's wonderful will. And he's going to give us, as we shared, 15, the vine and the branch, and the believers to have a very, very special relationship as a branch to a vine, and therefore the branch is able to enjoy the life of the vine in perfection, actually. Doesn't have to worry about anything, doesn't have to care about anything. It just needs to abide. It's going to experience everything, the wind, the rain, the bugs, the birds, but it doesn't, its life isn't there. The life of the branch is in the vine. And therefore, all that's happening in and around it doesn't affect, it doesn't change at all the life that the branch is living. And we share together, the Lord mentions that the servant is not above his Lord, and the word servant there verse 20, 15 and 20 is the word slave. And therefore, if it's going to happen to the Lord, it certainly is going to happen to his servants, especially those servants that are serving him. Therefore, in the process of all of that, so the end and the relationship, the world system is guilty, we shared together, the end of verse chapter 15, 21 to 20, 25, and we shared together that the world system is guilty, but the Jewish people, Pharisees and priests and Sadducees, they're double guilty because they have witnessed personally his words and works day in and day out if they wanted to for 3 1/3 years. So they're guilty and then guilty, guilty. And they're there. So there's no question about that. And therefore, that guilty, guilty crowd is going to go and crucify the Lord and is going to turn around and go after these disciples, the believers. And that's what's going to happen. So now, and the Lord's preparing them for that and helping them for that. And all of the benefits we shared together, chapter 14 and verse 20, just hit that part of it to remind you and myself, chapter 14 and verse 20, and all, at that day you shall know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. And then it goes on to give that relationship. Wow. a unique relationship to God by way of the person of Jesus Christ, God the Father and God the Son and God the Holy Ghost. A very unique relationship is going to take place. And that is unheard of. Right now, they don't have that in the upper room. And that's why the admonition and the exercise to be forewarned is to be forearmed. And they are being told that what's going to happen. Up to this point, the Lord is the centerpiece, and he has been that way for 3 1/3 years. So now, but the 11 of them for all of those that time, and all the rest of them, they never had to worry about the hostility of the Pharisees or the Sadducees or the priest leadership. Nah, they didn't have to bother with it. They were just fishermen and tax collectors, and that's how they were treated. Now things are going to be different, just going to be different. And the Lord is going to go. And when he goes, the Spirit of God, that's why you have in John 15, you go to verse from guilty, guilty, to verse 26 and 27, the Spirit of God they are informed, the Spirit of God is going to be among them, in them, and about them, and he's going to honor the Lord Jesus Christ, and he's going to honor the Lord Jesus Christ in them. Now, they don't understand all of that yet, but the surety, the certainty of what's ahead is to be counted on. Why? Not because of them. It's to be counted on because of the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God is going to make it work and happen. So you don't have to worry about it. It isn't God's going to be doing, like in the person of Jesus Christ, now the person of Jesus Christ in the believing heart by the Spirit of God. He's going to make it all. The Spirit of God's going to represent the Lord Jesus Christ in the heart. And you can be sure that the demons, the devil, the angels, good guys and bad guys, they know the difference in the world in a wonderful way, will know the difference in his grace. Now, having said that and keeping that in mind, and the believer, they don't understand, the Spirit of God is going to buy them with a body, bought them, body, soul, and spirit. And he owns them. The Spirit of God's going to separate them. They're bought with a price. They're not their own. They belong to God. And they don't understand that yet, but it's going to happen, and that's why it's all going to be. So therefore, and the darkness is hating the light. It can't put out the light, but boy, does it hate the light. And death hates life, actually. But death can't do a thing about life. Life is life, and death is death. Darkness is darkness, and light is light. Now, having said that little bit, we slid down to chapter 16, and the Lord is now making very directly to them and for them what's he going to do and make them understand. These things have I spoken unto you, that you should not be offended. Now, he's telling them these things because they're going to face the realities of the cross and thereafter. And they don't understand. They can only anticipate in a way, looking at it from a worldly standpoint. They can't see it from God's standpoint. And therefore they are very much concerned. And so God tells them, he warns them they're going to be offended. And we shared the word offended is the word to on a trap stick, bait, and the bait and the trap, and the animal takes the bait and knocks the stick, and the trap falls down and covers them and catches them. Trap stick, to stumble, to catch them. Now, God is warning them not to be offended. Stumble. Don't get trapped and tricked. Why? Because you're thinking of what you can, that Christ is crucified, you're going to be crucified in prison and everything. And I'm telling you all of the wonderful things that are going to happen. In John chapter 14, verse 12 and onward, remember, the very works that I do, I'm going to do in your heart. And verse 13 of chapter 14, whatsoever shall ask in my name, I will do it, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. Verse after verse, statement after statement of our Lord, of the wonderment of this whole thing. Wow. And you know what? They don't catch it. They only got the from the human standpoint. And so if you were going to go out the door and talk to somebody down the street or in the wherever you want to go, do they understand what the Lord said in John 14, 15? No. These 11 are hearing something that is unheard of. And therefore, if they're going to go out the door and begin to talk to the person down the street about it, that we're going to do just like the Lord did, healing and food and everything, they're going to say you're crazy. And the disciples are going to agree. No, we can't do that. We can't do what he did. We can't be him. They understood that. That wasn't a problem. And God knew it would be a problem, their unbelief. Therefore, in order to grab that a little bit from a good understanding, over to Galatians. And in Galatians, if I can, in chapter 5. And you would recall God telling until you know the Lord, your old nature is all you have. Old nature, dead in trespasses and sin. When you come to know the Lord as your Savior, your old nature didn't go away. You receive the person of Jesus Christ. So you have you, old nature, plus him. Him. Christ in you is wonderful life. And you have that. And that makes a conflict, a difference. Now, in order to put that together in the light of this, over to Galatians in chapter 5, may I go to verse 17. For the flesh lusteth against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that, result, you cannot do the things that you would. So up to you in the dark, you just lived in the dark, you walked in the dark, you thought in the dark. But now that you've got a light, then the darkness has to be reevaluated and understood and seen differently. And the light comes along, and the light doesn't go out, and it makes a conflict, the old nature, you, light, darkness, light, back and forth. I understand, oh, it can't be. Well, it could be, but it can't be all over. Now put that together with verse 18. And if you be led of the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now, difference. Now, the works of the flesh are manifest, made clear, public, plain, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, all these, and such things of which I tell you before and have also told you in time past, so it isn't new, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Now that's your old nature. And when you get saved, you got another thing. The Spirit of God's going to do something. Verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit, the Spirit of God, fruit singular, is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, patience, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance, self-control. Against such there is no law. Now that's a whole nother thing. So when you have that, you've got a old nature and a new nature, and you've got that. Now that's a problem. And verse 25, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Now we have to go and overcome that old nature. Over to see that, chapter 4. And in chapter 4, the illustration. Chapter 4 and verse 28. Now we, brethren, as Isaac was, are the children of promise. But as then he that was born after the flesh persecuted him that was born after the Spirit, even so it is now. Nevertheless, what saith the Scripture? Cast out the bondwoman, slave, and her son, for the son, that's the works of the law, for the son of the bondwoman shall not be heir with the son of the free woman, etc. Now this is an old nature and a new man, and your old the Jewish people that are crucifying him, Pontius Pilate that is doing that, they have an old nature. And that old nature isn't going away. And the disciples have the same old nature, but they've lined themselves up with the Lord, and they're going to reap, and they're reaping, and they're going to reap the benefits. So therefore, they're going to find what? That the Jewish people that crucify him, they didn't change, they didn't get saved, they're still going to be what they are. So therefore, don't be surprised when I tell you that you're going to be faced with some very hard, unbelieving, hostile, hating world. Now don't be surprised at that. That's your old nature is going to go and cause you to be offended. I don't want to have that happen. Now watch how that goes. Over, if you would, please, to the Gospel of John. And in the Gospel of John again, if I can, over to chapter 6. Easiest. And in chapter 6, picking up the thought, if I had, now remember the Lord has just told them, chapter 6, verse 35, Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger. He that believeth on me shall never thirst. Okay, a relationship to him that is equal to all the nutrients needed for physical life. He provides spiritual life. Now, having said all that, verse 51, I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give him is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. Now listen to the Jews. We did all this, remember, just as a reminder, verse 52. The Jews therefore strove among themselves, saying, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? And that's what they remember, that's what we share together. The Roman Empire is going to go, and Caesar is Lord. But Jesus is Lord, and they're going to go and line up with Caesar, the Roman Empire, because the believers are they eat flesh and everything. Wow, that isn't true, but that's what they thought. Now, slide over if I can, chapter 51, verse 52, over to verse 60. Many, therefore, of his disciples, when they had heard this, said, this is a hard saying, who can hear it? Now, who could want to hear this kind of talk? You got to eat my flesh and drink my blood, and that's awful, awful, awful. Go back up to verse 56 for a moment. And he that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him. As the living Father, verse 57, hath sent me, and I live by the Father, so he that eateth me, even he shall live by me. And I said, that's crazy talk. Hard. That's what the Lord's trying to help the disciples with in John chapter 15. I don't want you to be offended. I just told you the wonderment of your relationship to me, to God by me. And you're going to have a unique, wonderful relationship. I already gave you all kinds of information coming down the corridor of time in these 3 1/3 years. I told you I'm the bread of life. I told you I'm the water. I told you I am the life. I am the life. And you need to have a relationship to me to have the life, the spiritual life, the fruit of the Spirit. Therefore, they said, this is a hard saying. And the Jewish people, community, and the disciples, let me go down a bit further, as you know, and verse 61, and when Jesus knew in himself that his disciples mumbled, grumbled, at it, that this hard saying, he said unto them, does this, and there's your little verb, offend you? Are you stumbling over this? Are you stumbling over this, gentlemen, ladies, the disciples, the believers that were following him? Are you going to pick up what they're saying? It's a hard saying, the mixed crowd there. So therefore, verse 62, what said, if you shall see the Son of Man ascend up where he was before? Verse 63. It is the Spirit that quickeneth, giveth life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. And now you know what's going to happen. That it's a very hard thing. They're offended. And God is trying to warn the 11 not to be offended. Because I told you something, and it involves a unique personal relationship to God. And I am God, and making that possible. And they're looking at him. He says to them, don't be offended. Now, and what do they do? Verse 66, and from that time many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. They weren't going to go any further. No further. Only so far. And they aren't going to go any further. Wow. But the 12, minus Judas, verse 67. Then said Jesus unto the 12, will you go away? Also go away. And then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. We're hanging in there. We're going to go all the way, even to prison and death, whatever. You don't understand this, but we're going because of you. Verse 69. And we believe and are sure that thou art that Christ, the Son of the living God. And we're sure of it. So that here's the 11 being warned again. I don't want you to be offended. That's the danger. I'm telling you all of this stuff, but I want you to know, when you go out in the street there, if you don't look to me, you're going to listen to the crowd. The crowd's going to go and crucify me, Jews and Gentiles. And you're going to live with that crowd. They're your family. They're your people you grew up with. They don't believe. It's a very hard thing for them. They couldn't conceive that God could be, they couldn't even do, well, here you are, I don't know what to say it, John chapter 10. We've looked at this, just reminding you over and over again. John chapter 10 and verse 23, verse 33. 10 and 33. The Jews answered him, saying, for a good work we stone thee not, but for blasphemy. And because, what's that? Because that thou being a man, makest thyself God. And God can't be a man. That was their problem. The Messiah can't be a man. He may be a man, but he can't be God then. He can't be. Our king could be a Messiah, but he may not be. He can't be God. A man can't be God. But he was. Born and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And they had a problem. So now, here's the disciples being forewarned in order to be forearmed and to understand that the darkness hates the light. And the light is witnessing to the darkness, and the darkness is very, very, very upset. They're not happy at all. So therefore, in the process, and you'll remember one other place, we shared it last time, but make sure it's locked in. Wonderful. Over to Matthew and chapter 11. And you would recall Matthew chapter 11. Our Lord, John the Baptist, once sent messengers out to see if the Lord was really doing and saying what he was doing. And therefore, Matthew chapter 11, and the Lord's answer back to John by his messengers. Verse 4, Jesus answered and said unto them, go and show John again those things which you do hear and see. What was that? The blind receive their sight. the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached unto them. All of those wonderful things were happening by our Lord. They were happening on a daily basis almost in the coming and going. Therefore, verse 6, and by the way, John, tell John, blessed is he, whosoever shall not be offended in me. I'm doing all of this. Are these people all saved? No. I healed them, fed them. I did that. Some of them are saved. Some aren't saved. Going to be saved. But you know what? I know what I'm doing it. So, and doing it to just people. And I'm doing it to the very people that are going to cut the Herod and the crowd that's going to cut your head off, John. So, John, don't get upset. Don't get upset. You're going to lose your head out there by this crowd. But now, why am I healing them? Why am I feeding them? Why am I doing that to such a crowd? Ah, don't be offended. I'm showing my wonderful works who I am. And they are going to do what? They're going to see them and hear them, and they're either going to go and catch the message and believe, or they're not. Now, having said that little bit and keeping that in mind, and you remember now, and since you're that close, over to chapter 12. You're closer than chapter 12. Chapter 11. Over to verse 29. 11 and 29. The Lord Jesus, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. And the Lord is saying in John chapter 15, 16, you are the vine and the branch, like a yoke. You're lined up as we shared last time together. You're yoked. So wherever you are, the Lord is. Wherever the Lord is going in his will for your life, you're there. You're there. So you're never alone, and you're never without the resource. And what I'm trying to tell you, I'm going to be, John 14:20, I'm going to abide in you, and my Father and I are going to abide in you and find your home and find our home in your heart. And you have to understand, I'm going to be the same. I'm going to do the job that I'm doing now after my crucifixion, show my saving grace. I'm going to be in you doing this. That's what I'm going to do. So you're able to do works. You're able to ask anything in my name. You're able to abide. You're able to be in my love, my peace, my joy, my friendship, my slaves. You're going to be mine, my witnesses. Wonderful. Now, they couldn't get that yet, but they're told when that happens, things are going to be different for you. Because, you see, the Lord is the target. Once the Lord steps off the scene, they're the target. The Apostle Paul, Acts 20, the Apostle Paul is the target in Ephesus. Paul says, once I step down, all you elders, all you guys are going to get clipped because the target, they can't get me anymore. They can't get the Lord anymore. They're going to get you guys because you guys represent the Lord. And that's what they're going to do. So I'm trying to warn you, and the Spirit of God is going to make it happen. So it isn't going to be you. If you're going to trust God, the Spirit of God's going to do his wonderful things to make all of that life possible for you in a most wonderful way. Now, having said that little bit and keeping that in mind, and I think I'm sort of ahead of myself. I think we put the sheep. What about the sheep? So we better do the sheep a little bit so you don't say, because I can't get to the sheep if I go to the next section. So therefore, over if you would to Isaiah. Isaiah and chapter 53. Isaiah chapter 53, picking up in thought. And you will notice in Isaiah 53, all we, verse 6, all we like sheep have gone astray, and we have turned every one to his own way. And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. He bore our sin in his own body in the tree. Do you see the word that we are all like? We are all like. Like is a simile, a resemblance. A simile means like, L-I-K-E, or as, like or as. A simile. Something is like something else. Something is like something else. It would be like we'd have in Peter. All flesh is as grass. It's like grass. But, in Isaiah 40, all flesh is grass. That's a metaphor. Is grass. It represents grass. One thing is like something, and the other represents it. Represents it. Now, having that in mind, verse 6, all we like sheep. We're like sheep. I got that. Hang on to that. That's what Christ is dying for the sin of the world, and the sin of the world in dying because they're sheep. Now, what did verse 7? He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought forth as a lamb to the slaughter. And as a sheep before his shearers is dumb, he opened not his mouth. Now, what did Jesus call us? Sheep? Why? Because he died on the cross for you before the foundation of the world. Who did? Remember that? He said it. Before anything's created, he makes it very clear. Revelation 13:8, etc. What does he say? The Lamb of God slain before what? The foundation of the world. It doesn't say Christ died, not the Lamb. It says the Lamb. The Lamb slain. That's what you're going to keep saying. The Lamb slain. We're sheep. A lamb. Christ is going to be born in a body, having a word became flesh and dwelt among us. He's going to be like us, a man. He's the lamb. And what's he going to do? He's going to die for the rest of the lambs, the sheep. He's going to die for them and rise again for them. Wow, that's what he's going to do. Wow, he's the lamb. Uh-huh. And you're the sheep. Hang on to that. What are they going to do to the lamb? They're going to crucify him. And when they crucify him, that's what they're going to do, because he's the lamb, the Passover lamb. Genesis 3 and 15, the lamb slain, seed of the woman. Wow. So here's the lamb slain. That's our Lord Jesus Christ. He goes and dies on the cross for us. Now, and if we receive the benefits of his saving grace, dying on the cross, paying the price for our sin, all we like sheep have gone astray, etc. And God's going to go and what? He's going to go and save us. And save us. Who's he saving? The sheep. He's saving the sheep. That's right. Everyone's like sheep. But they get saved. Christ died on the cross to save the sheep. Now, but what does the world system, what did the Jewish system do? It hates sheep. It killed the lamb. It crucified the Lamb of God. That's what it did. It crucified him. What do you think they're going to do to the rest of the sheep? If they did it to him, he's the sheep, he's the lamb. And God, help us, what are we supposed to be? It make me worthy 11. We're sheep. You guys are sheep. Do you understand? You're sheep. Go with me, please, over Psalm 95. And you will note, in Psalm 95, wonderful, just picking up directly in the light of the context, verse 6. O come, let us worship and bow down, let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. For, why? Why are we worshiping him? Because he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture. What are we doing? That's right. And the sheep of his hand. Today, if you will hear his voice, Well, we're sheep. Over to Psalm 100, right next door. You know it, Psalm 100. Just saying it so you hear it, think about it. Verse 3. Know ye that, 103. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. That's what we are. A wonderful, wonderful relationship we're to have to him in a most wonderful way. So God, looking to you, God, we are the sheep. That's what they are. Now the Lord Jesus Christ said, if they served, if they went after the master, they're going to go after his servants. They're certainly going to go after you. Why? Because Christ in you is the shepherd. He's the sheep. You'll receive the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world, and that's why you're saved. And they're going to go after the Lamb of God in you. That's what they're going to do. They resent that you could be saved. They don't believe Christ could be born and die for them. They don't believe he can die. The Lamb didn't die for me. And they're going to go and do what they do. Wow. Now, don't be surprised. But I'm trying to tell you, you are not going to be in for a picnic. And we'll see that. A wonderful way to see it, understand it. Now, in the light of all of that, in the light of that little bit, keep that in mind, if you would, in God's wonderful care, over to John chapter 10. Since we're off a little bit. And in John chapter 10, you'll remember, the Lord Jesus Christ is the shepherd. He's the shepherd. Wow. Wonderful shepherd. And in the process, as you read John 10, as you read it, and you read sliding down for the time's sake, sliding down, if I can, to verse 3. To him the porter openeth, opened the little gate, a gate to the sheepfold. Porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And the God takes care of the sheep at night, all go in the pen, and out, and in and out, and who's shepherding them? The Lord God is shepherding them, the sheep. That's what he's doing. He's talking about sheep. That's what I want you to know. I'm going to read verse 1. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not in by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and robber. You're in the sheep. Sheep in the sheepfold. That's right. Over, if you would, to and you're not, and you hear, and you're related to me. You're related. We talk to each other. You call the sheep, I call the sheep, and the sheep run, and the wolves are out there. But you know what? I'm leaving you right in the middle of the wolves. Hold your finger here a minute. Luke, coming right back. Luke in chapter 10. On the previous mission, the Lord put it out in front of them, so they knew it. When he sent them out, two by two, etc., Luke chapter 10 and in verse 3. Go your ways, behold, I send you forth as lambs among the wolves. I didn't come to take you out of the world. The world hates me. I'm leaving you in it as the lamb surrounded by wolves. Not lions. You're sheep. You're sheep. Hang on. You're just sheep. Ah, God, you wouldn't. I did. I am. That's why I don't want you to be offended. I'm trying to help you understand. That's what apostasy comes in. That's what happened to the church. The church is poof, gone in this wonderful testimony of Jesus Christ. We get Presbyterianism, Communism, Baptistism, and all. We get everything. But we don't have, it is, the church isn't about any of that. It's about the wonderful person of Jesus Christ, period. But you would never know that. You'd never know that like you should now. So here, over in John chapter 10, verse 7. Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came, verse 8, before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. Well, we just read that. We just read that. Sheep of his pasture. We're sheep. What do? It means we're in a pasture, grass, think of Psalm 23, and we got the green grass growing and everything's there. But you know what? Verse 4, we walk through the valley of the shadow of death in the process. We're among the wolves. God didn't make the wolves go away. No, he didn't. And if you want to be popular and say, no, I want to be popular with God, and in doing so, the world may not want that. I can't. People are all upset about globalism and that pursuit of whatever, pursuit of your retirement, pursuit of your job, pursuit of your family, pursuit of your life, back and forth. But you aren't in there if you're saved. You have eternal life, and you're waiting to go home, and you're being a witness to him. So you aren't trying to get somewhere. It doesn't mean you don't do everything and be everything. But we aren't holding it tight. We don't need it. Don't need it. Thank God for your car. But if the Lord takes you, you aren't going to need your car. You understand that? There's no gas up there. You got it. Pasture. And sliding down. Verse 11. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. That's what you do. That's what he does. And so God, you're going to do everything. You're going to do all that. Verse 25. Jesus answered them, I told you, and you believe not the words that I do in my Father's name may bear witness of me. But you believe not, because you are not of my sheep, as I said unto you. You're not my sheep. You don't belong. Yeah, you're all humans. You just aren't being saved. You could be my sheep, but you don't. I died for you. You can be saved, but I don't want to be saved. I don't want to be saved. Then you won't be. You have a right to not be saved. You don't have to be saved. Verse 27. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. And verse 20, my Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. And by the way, I and my Father are one with one God. So I want you to know, I'm trying to tell you guys, John chapter 16, verse 1, I don't want you to be offended. They're going to do nasty things. And that's history. But be of good cheer. I didn't come here to change the world. I came to take you out of the world and save you. I'm not trying to fix the world. I'm not fixing the world. The world's headed to the tribulation and a terrible collision course with God. God, this great worldly ship is headed to the giant iceberg like the Titanic, and is going to crash on God. Wow. Now, having said that a little bit, God, that's awesome. Now, God, I just need to think about that a second. And over, if you would, please. Oh, that will help you probably at this point. Over, if you would, to John chapter 8. All the different things we could do about sheep, but get a little bit, your sheep. And what did I say, John? I said something. Romans. It was like John. Romans in chapter 8. And would you allow me to pick up in thought? Watch it. Romans chapter 8. In the light of the Psalms, etc. And here's God helping us. And therefore, chapter 8, sliding right down to the whole thing. Verse 31. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? In other words, if God's for you, the biggest wolf you could ever find is powerless. I'll do it another way. For 3 1/3 years, they have been trying to get me to kill me, but they couldn't do it. Even when they surrounded me and took me to the top of the hill to throw me over the edge, I walked right through them, and they couldn't do a thing. You can't do anything till it's the time. I'm the shepherd. I'm taking you down the corridor, and your sheep amidst wolves, sheep that have become wolves, sheep that could be saved, but they'd rather be wolves. And they're going down that corridor, and if I'm for you, you won't find anyone that can be against you properly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. And I put you in my pasture, and no wolf's coming through there unless I say so. And when I let you out to go feed in the grass, and the adders are there, and the snakes and everything are there, don't worry, I'm right there. And you won't find one of them that's going to get anywhere unless I let them. Unless I let it happen. So you're trusting me. Until I'm ready, no wolf's going to eat you. Well, don't have to worry about it. Nope. I didn't ask you to be popular. I asked you to be, look to me in a personal, wonderful way to enjoy the relationship I have made possible by way of Calvary's cross. Therefore, Romans 8. Quickly, I got to quit. Romans 8, verse 36. As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. What do you mean? We are accounted as sheep for the what? Slaughter. I just told you, you're in the midst of wolves. I told you what it was going to be. I told you. But, 37. Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. So, hey, it's a wonderful adventure to know him. And God leaves you here in this very special assignment. But he doesn't go and tell you, and it's some surprise, and I can't do any more, but they weren't ready to hear anything else. They weren't ready to get chapter 16, 1, 2, 3, 4. They weren't ready for it. But they are now. They are now. Wow. And God's given it to them straightway. Therefore, God, you're helping us. That's right. I want you to know. And you know it, gentlemen, ladies, don't we all know it? Don't they know it? Absolutely. Do you know what David said, don't you? The Lord is my shepherd. What? I shall not want. The Lord is my shepherd. He's my shepherd. He giveth his life for the sheep. He stands there at the entrance of the pasture. God's will for your life, say it easy. God's will for your life. And who would like to destroy God's will for your life? Apart from your old nature and mine, no one's going to destroy it. Because God wants it. So I'm the only rascal that can make it go away. And other people can get my attention and cause me to fear their fears and their faults. But I don't have to do that. Nope. God, in the pasture, there's no wolf going to get me. And that's what you want me to be. You're going to keep me right there. And therefore, when I have to leave the pasture, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, thou art with me. I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. That's what I'm going to do. So God, when I have to go out, and you want it out, you want all wrapped up in God, and God has plans for this and that, and all of these things happen to us. But be of good cheer. Think of Sunday school. All these things work together for good in God's wonderful knowing and working. Wow, I got to quit. Appreciate your patience. We didn't get very far, but just isn't it wonderful to be a sheep? And we could all baa, and what can I tell you? You know, that isn't a very intelligent language, you know. We'll pray. Our Father and God, we thank you for your grace and kindness, and God, help us. It's all there. It's the history of time out of eternity, and we're living in it, God. So we want to come to grips with how it works and why it works, and God, we can't do it without you and your word. Spirit of God, you're the certainty. You're the one to make it all for sure. There's no question about how it's going and where it's going. And our Spirit of God, we thank you very, very much. So thank you, thank you, thank you. Help us, God. In Christ's name, amen.